The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Hi, Farrell on the bench on a pain-free Friday with Carver High as we get ready for football. On Saturday and Sunday, the divisional semis are going down, and I can't wait. I mean, I am just absolutely 100% invested in those four football games and the betting end of it. And we've been talking about the NBA and the NHL and everything else tonight. There's a lot of college basketball tomorrow that we can talk about as well. Big games. We'll at least go through it. But let's start by talking about these football games. So tomorrow, you've got the Titans and Bengals first up from Smashville. And Derrick Henry's back. Tannehill's got his monster, the king in the backfield. He's got, weapons at receiver. He's got a front four defensively that, you know, is as good as any in the NFL. Literally, you can talk all you want about Aaron Donald and the Rams. They're Sid Vicious, too, but this Titan pass rush means business. That's why they're the number one seed in the AFC. People think they're not worthy. That's fine. You're not worthy until you got those four chasing you in the backfield, in the pocket. You'll be running for your life. What do you think is going to happen, Carver High, to Joe Burrow tomorrow in Nashville? Will Burrow be able to avoid that hectic pressure that he's going to get with that average offensive line he's got? And I don't deny Burrow's great. I don't deny Chase is great. I don't deny the Bengals have had a hell of a run and that they're tough and they're good and they're capable and they might very well pull it off, but I'm not feeling it.
Yeah, look, I feel that the Titan defense is severely underrated, you could say. I don't think that they get enough credit. I mean, you look at some of the teams they've beaten this year. There's a reason why they're the one seed. Now, they lost Henry. You could say the last 2 months their schedule wasn't great. Yeah, well, guess what? I know this. They beat the Bills this year. They beat the Chiefs this year. They beat the Rams this year. They beat a lot of good football teams.
They beat all four of the. They beat all the teams that are left.
Yeah, they've beaten everybody. They beat the Colts twice this year in their division. You know, they played good football all year, and their defense does not get talked about among some of the best in the league. And I think that they have a little chip on their shoulder because of that. And all the juice and all the talk this week is about Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. And rightfully so, those guys have played great the last few weeks. It's understandable. He's one of the new flavors on the block. But I got a feeling, along with you, that the Titans are going to have a little something for him tomorrow. And he's going to see some things that he hasn't seen before.
They beat the Buccaneers in the preseason. I don't care what it is. They beat them, right? And they kicked their ass, 34-3. I know it doesn't count, but that's irrelevant. I'm talking about of the teams that are left in it, they beat the Bills. They may have got lucky, but they beat the Bills, 34-31. And they beat the Rams, 28-16. And they did that at SoFi. They beat all the teams. I mean, it's unbelievable. We welcome all of our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090, San Diego ESPN Radio, and Sports Map, Radio Network, Sports Byline USA, Armed Forces, radio all over the globe. Hoorah, soda, hoorah. It's Pharrell on the bench on a pain-free Friday. So they beat the Niners 20-17.
Yeah, Niners too. That's right. Yeah, beat the Niners. They beat the Chiefs. Niners, Chiefs, Bills, Rams. Yeah, they've.
They beat the Chiefs 27-3. They beat the Bills 34-31.
And the best part is, in all those games, all of those four games against teams that are still remaining, nobody thought the Titans were winning those games that week. Nobody.
Ever.
Everybody thought the Titans were going to lose the Chiefs. They'd lose to the Bills. I remember that Sunday night game with the Rams. They were coming. That was like their first game without Henry, I think. One of their first games without Henry. Oh, they got no shot. And then Matt Stafford basically threw him the ball, you know, a whole bunch of times, and they beat him. You know, their D is underrated.
I went to see him lose to the Steelers.
Yeah.
I was at that game, 19-13 Steelers. Great game. I remember it came down to they literally had the ball at the 10-yard line to win in a game, and it was like fourth down, right? They went for it, and the Steelers stopped them. And that was
a rock fight.
They needed
rock
a fight. They got down to like the 5-yard line, the last play of the game. It was a great game. And then I went out to dinner with hookers.
I do think the interesting thing with tomorrow's game, and I think they can win a game whether they use him like they normally do or not, is Henry. And I don't think that there's going to be – he's not going to get the 25, 30, 35 carries that he normally does. I feel like he's going to be on a limited basis, but even that limited basis is going to give them a juice and give them some boost, you know?
I bet he gets 20 pulls. And I'll tell you what, here's the other thing. Your boy Vrabel, I never knew this, but I know it now. He's literally never lost a game.
Yes,
after
I did.
A bye.
Yeah, it was a good note from Kaplan. It's a real good note.
Never lost a game after having a week off. They just had a week off. I mean, that is crazy. Can Joe Burrow hit Chase, Higgins, Boyd? Their big tight end. Can he do it again? Can he pull it off in Smashville? We'll find out tomorrow. All right, so we carry on. The Niners go to Lambeau Field tomorrow night. And these are very familiar playoff foes over the years.
Yep.
8:15 Eastern on Fox. This one's going to be a good one. Aaron Rodgers against Jimmy Porn Star G. Garoppolo, I think, has been playing great, Carver High. I thought he looked really good, frankly, down the stretch for the Niners. I really feel like, you know, despite the loss to the Titans late in the season, right before Christmas, I mean, they beat up on everybody. They beat the Bengals. They beat up on the Falcons. They beat up on the Texans. They beat the Rams in overtime on the last game of the season. And then they went to Dallas, and they won the wild card game against the Cowboys. I have never seen in my life a team lose and get more attention the week after the loss, the day, you know, from the day after moving through the week. They are literally still on Friday. We're doing it right now.
We're
talking about the Dallas Cowboys, which I think is a joke, because when you lose, you're done.
Over. Go away.
Why are we talking about them? Why is the national media still talking about this team? I want to talk about the Niners, how they went down there, and that score was not indicative of how badly I thought they pushed them around.
I do not disagree. I thought the Cowboys obviously had a little spurt in the fourth quarter. They scored the 10 straight points, and that was the one little glitch for Jimmy G in that game, was that pick that he threw that the Cowboys brought back deep, and they ended up scoring a touchdown off of that. But other than
Jimmy G, he had 12 picks on the air.
He did play great, though, in the game, and you're right about the Cowboys. I mean, God, they know how to milk this stuff. I mean, Monday, you had Jerry. Then Tuesday, you had Stephen Jones. Then you had McCarthy, and now today, again, with Jerry Jones. Well, maybe we do want to look at the coaches. Like, a full week of cowboy propaganda, and they're eliminated. Like, it's just, please, let's go away. You guys are finished. But let's get
it's ridiculous.
Let's get to the real situation. I think that the tough part for me is I just feel like Rodgers is on such a mission here, and the Packers. The last few years, they keep getting to the NFC title game, and they've lost every. They lose every year, including to the Niners 2 years ago in San Francisco. Last year at home right. to Tampa. Like, it's like he knows that the clock's ticking here, and he's getting to the end. Like, he's got to punch another ticket. He just does. And I think that that's going to be a lot for the Niners to overcome. And even though these guys are going to play on D, and that's huge for them, they need Warner and Bosa out there. Even though their D played pretty good, even when those guys went out of the game last Sunday, for this game, they need him. Because the Packers not only are going to bring you Rodgers, they're going to bring you Jones and A.J. Dillon, some bruisers in the backfield. Like, they attack you in so many ways. Warner and Bosa playing is going to be huge. But at the end of the day, it's too much Rodgers for me in this game. Too much Rodgers.
And I think, in all honesty, that Warner and Bosa are not 100%. I think they're 75% at best.
I agree.
So I don't know how they're going to stop. I don't know how they're going to stop that offense and that attack in that stadium, in those conditions, when you're playing phony. Like, you're not healthy. You're beat up. You're injured. You're playing anyway because you're a badass, and you're gonna, you know, because you're a man's man. NFL, no joke. This is the playoffs. No time to cry now, girly man. They're going out there to play, but they're not all there. I mean, I don't see how. Bosa got his bell rung. He was concussed. And then 6 days later, he's playing in a playoff game, and you know, it's going to feel like 10 below outside. I'm sorry. I do not count him as being the dominant pass rusher that he is. I think he'll be, frankly, I think 75% or lower, like, to the point of, I think he's going to be almost just above, for me, just above a half better than he is. You know, I just think he's half of what he really is. Because they're like, he's cleared to play. The other guy's cleared to play. When you're getting cleared to play, you're not healthy. You're just getting cleared to play. They're going to let you play because they need you, but you're not going to be all there. Look, I'm telling you, and they have problems with their secondary. We talked about it today with Adam Kaplan, right? They have injuries to their secondary. Well, I don't think their secondary is good to begin with. How are they going to stop, Adams and the rest of that passing attack with that quarterback, Rodgers? He is lethal.
I mean, look, in the first game this year in San Francisco, they had no answers for Adams whatsoever. I mean, the dude had like a .175 and a couple scores. Like, he made the Niners look silly. In that game, Sunday night game early in the year. And I still don't think they got answers for him. I think it's going to be the same story tomorrow night. I think you're going to get a lot of Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers, and I think that they'll even bulldoze him a little bit with A.J. Dillon and with Aaron Jones. I just think that this is going to be a very tough spot for the Niners. And you just said how they've been playing. They've been playing basically playoff games for 4 or 5 weeks straight now. The 49ers, just to get in. They need, that was a playoff game against the Rams, the last game of the season. You know, they played the Cowboys last week. Like, it's, and how about this? 6 of their last 7 games have been on the road or something like that. Like, they've had a lot of road games as well in this last stretch. I just think it catches up. And I said it, I still stick
to
this.
I
think this will be the one game that has the best chance of being a blowout. Best chance of a blowout is this game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, fair enough. But I won't deny that they've been hot. 3 in a row, 8 of 10, and they've done a lot of the damage on the road. I won't deny that I really think they're dangerous. And, you know, the way they're playing with, like, confidence, like a swagger, like a cockiness, like, we're not afraid of you. We will punch you back in the mouth. We are physical. We are here. Let's dance. They've got that written all over them. I think they play like a team that had 10 wins that acts like they had 13 wins. I really do. I think they feel like, all right, we gave a few away, but we're better than that, and we're as good as you, or we're as good as anybody. I think they play with that kind of chip. And I won't deny that concerns me about the fact that I laid the points with Green Bay. That I thought, you know, at the beginning of the week, I thought when I looked at that number at when it was whatever for 5.5, I said, I got to grab the points. I think it'll be a, you know, 3-4-5 point game. But then as the week went on, I rolled the dice and I said, I need Aaron Rodgers to win this game by a touchdown. And I think he can do that. Do I believe that more than I believe the Niners can cover 5.5, 6, whatever it is? Yes, I do. So I like, how many times out of 10 would Aaron Rodgers win that game by 7? And I think it's like 7 times at least. And then I'd say the Niners can cover that spread at Lambeau in 0 degrees. How many times can they do that? I'd say 3 of 10. And I basically changed from grabbing it and middling it to laying it. And I just went with the Packers. So we'll see what happens. I can't wait to watch it. I can't wait to see if, frankly, you know, the 8-0 at home Packers can live up to their billing as the number one seed, and that he can live up to the billing of everybody saying he's going to win back-to-back MVPs, and everyone's saying he's going to live up to the billing of he's going to win his second ring. I want to see it because I actually believe that, you know, I got to see the Rams play, and we'll talk about them next, but I got to see them play. But if they play like they did against Arizona, and if they beat Tampa, and if they get on that kind of roll, they remind me of the Giants in 07, that they could actually go to Lambeau and beat them in the title game. I really believe that. And that they would, and you know who I like. I like the Bills, so I would love to see the Rams get there. Rams and Bills, I think, would be a great Super Bowl. Everything. I don't want to watch Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Sorry. All right, for all in a bench, I have to, before we talk about these Sunday games, Carver High, I have to ask you about this guy, Shane, that the Giants hired as their new GM. He's a Buffalo guy. I heard he started his career as a ticket manager for the Carolina Panthers, and then, or something like that, and then he ended up in Buffalo, and then now he's the GM of the New York Football Giants, which is, I think, just a gigantic get for him. And my question really is, I think he's very deserving. I think the guy's been brilliant with this story of him and, you know, the whole Josh Allen thing and what they've done to turn him into Jim Kelly. But I guess the real question is, you said it best today, that Brian Daboll's going to get that job. And I think he'd be crazy, to be honest with you, to choose anyone else. I mean, like, he's so familiar with Daboll. And you know these two have had dinner and talked about this and dreamed of this and planned for this. He's got to go with him, because if he chooses someone else, let's say, in my opinion, Brian Flores, who everybody thinks is, you know, frankly, going to get that job, I think not. That they're wrong, because I think he's got to go with Daboll, because if he goes with Flores, he doesn't have any relationship with him whatsoever, and it'd be like dating a new chick. You have no idea what's going to happen. With Daboll, they have this all figured out. You got to go with the plan in your gut, in your heart, that you started with probably 5 years ago, and it's reality now. Don't you think that he's just going to make that move?
Look, I think it's already done. I think it's a done deal, and it's just waiting around right now. And they're going to make it look good, interview other people. These two guys have been together in Buffalo for just over 4 years now. And as they've all risen together up there. Now, he came with Brandon Bean from Carolina, like you were saying. He was in the Carolina ticket office, worked his way up the Carolina Panther organization. Brandon Bean, who was the assistant general manager in Carolina, got the Bills job, and him and Sean McDermott were like a package deal, and that's what it's all about. Look at the teams that are successful in the NFL right now. What do a majority of them have? Continuity and a partnership and the general manager and the head coach position. Not everybody, of course, you got guys like Belichick who run everything themselves, but when you have a GM and a coach that are locked together and they are a team per se, you can start to get some success. And Shane has been sitting there with Bean the last 4 years in Buffalo, helping him build that team. At the same time, Brian Daboll has been there helping build Josh Allen. And you can bet your bottom dollar that those two guys have sat together hundreds of times over the last few years. And in a few of those conversations, hey, man, wouldn't it be cool if you got a general manager job and I was your head coach and we were the head coach, like we were together at a gig? So I think this is done. Like, they did a thing tonight, like they've already interviewed Daboll, the Giants. They put out this big announcement. This guy's been interviewing Daboll for 4 years in Buffalo. Of course, look at this. He's doing interviews before the game. There probably wasn't much of an interview. Hey, I know you. You know me. You're the coach. We just got to wait till you get the Bills hopefully win the whole damn thing or whatever. And then they interview Frazier as well. That's not going to happen. This is an offensive coach. It's an offensive league. He's going to go there and see if he can do the same magic with Jones. And if it doesn't in 1 year, the two of them together will find the quarterback that can.
Do you think that the rest of his interviews are phony, that he's already made his mind up?
1,000%. Brian Daboll's the next head coach of the New York Giants. It's done. He will be the coach.
Do you believe Frazier will get another job as a head coach this year?
I'm a little more skeptical of it. If there was anywhere that's a really good fit for him, it's the Bears. Considering he was part of the 85 Bears team on the defense. Look, his credentials, I know that he's had one bite at the apple already, and he got fired in Minnesota way back. He has the number one defense in the NFL. And look, you know, I don't see that many African-American candidates getting interviewed. Are you, Scotty, besides Brian Flores and him?
Of course not.
There's not. And
they screw all of them.
You know, I think that Frazier is going to potentially get a job here. And the Bills are going to lose a lot of guys, but that's the price of being good. It's happened in this league for 30 years. When you have a team that starts to get good and they're making the playoffs every year and they're playing for Super Bowls, all the pieces that help you put that together underneath the tree from your head coach and your GM, they're going to get picked off and so that they can try to do it in other places.
Why wouldn't Caserio already hire Flores? Is he
well,
not?
Here's Caserio's an idiot. And the Texans are the most dysfunctional organization in the entire NFL. Texans have a major problem. They got this guy, Jack Easterby, who's, I guess, running the team. Caserio's the GM running the team. Who the hell knows what goes on down there? And that's why, I mean, if I was Flores, I don't think I would want the job, to be quite honest.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, like,
nuts.
It's just stupid. It really is. But I wouldn't want to go near the Texans if I was a head coach.
So of the jobs, I mean, there's so many jobs open.
Yeah.
Like, Minnesota, Chicago, Houston.
Jacksonville.
Is there – what other ones?
Jacksonville.
Ones?
Jacksonville's open.
Jacksonville. Yeah.
Which, look, I mean, that's another situation where they haven't had a lot of success. You have a quarterback who was the number one overall pick last year. You know, maybe something can happen there. So you have Jacksonville, Miami, the Giants, Chicago, Houston. I'm missing one.
I think
one.
Trevor Lawrence has been awful.
Oh, Minnesota as well. You have Minnesota, too.
Right. I think Lawrence has been awful. I'm not sure that, you know, watching him.
I think the only game that he played well this year was the last game.
Great.
I think the last game was the only good one he played all year against the Colts. That was the only good game he played.
It was the first time he'd thrown a touchdown in 11 weeks. I mean, honestly, he sucks. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he'll have this huge future, but I didn't see any signs of that.
Right. No, I thought he had he didn't have a lot of moments in his rookie year. So I'm interested to see who wants to go in there and basically say, I'm going to turn Trevor Lawrence into –
Look, even Culley got a lot of money. Even Culley got a lot of money to coach in Houston, right?
They
had 1 year.
Oh.
I heard something along the lines of they owed him $22 million. Like to do that, four games.
Yep. It's a good gig if you
I'll
can get
that
it.
Money anywhere. You know, there's a coach out there. There's not one guy that's going to turn down any of those NFL head coaching jobs. They don't care how crappy the team is. When you're going to make that kind of money, you do it.
Exactly. That's why, like, there was a lot of people when he got fired. Well, why would he take the job? He knew he was going to get fired. Look at the check that he got. All right? I'll go and get fired for that check. You want to give me 1 year and I end up walking around between 17 and 22 million? Sure. Go ahead. I'll take it.
I'll sign up today, and I'm really good at getting fired. Yeah. So let's talk about the Rams. Let's get down to business here. Can they do it? Can they knock off TB12? I'm sick and tired of him.
Yes, they can do it. They absolutely can do it. There's only one thing that they cannot have happen in this game on Sunday, which will prevent. I think that if this guy keeps his head on straight, and you know who I'm talking about, is Stafford. If Stafford can keep his head on straight and not do the nonsense like he did on that Sunday night game against the Titans and throw the ball to the other team like a moron, if he keeps his head on straight, they'll beat the Bucs on Sunday because they're better than them. Right now, the Bucs are not the same Bucs. They're not bringing the same weapons to the fight as they did a year ago. They're just not. They're missing a ton of guys.
They're bringing a knife to a gunfight.
That's the thing. They don't have the ammunition that they had a year ago when they went and won the Super Bowl. And I don't think their defense, which you've brought up a lot of times, their defense was the real reason they made that run last year. And Tom was good, of course. But their defense drove the bus, especially in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. They were outstanding. I haven't seen the same juice from that defense. And listen, I don't want to talk about forget the Eagles last Sunday. The Eagles suck. Okay, I'm talking about against a real team, which is what they're going to see on Sunday.
Right. I knew the Eagles and Steelers were one and done. And I think I got to tell you. I can't take another year of the Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
I can't take it.
I'm going to start not like I want nothing to do with that 2 weeks of talking about him. I just can't do it. Honestly, I don't know what I'm going to do, but it's not going to be friendly. I'm not going to sit there and talk good about him for 2 weeks. I'm not going to do it.
Can't have it. It's such torture, and we've been doing it for so long. And he's been in so many goddamn Super Bowls, and all those Super Bowls, you got 2 weeks of nonsense, especially the first of the 2 weeks. That's the worst. At least when you get to the week of the game, it's somewhat palatable. It's that week between the title game and the off week where you're like, oh my God, we got to talk about the accomplishments of Tom Brady for 2 weeks. Like, we need him out, like this week. I don't even want to talk about him next week, all right? I want to talk about the Rams and the Packers next week. That's it. Give me Stafford.
Shouldn't it be a soft landing? You know what I mean? Just get him out of there, and we already know he's the greatest ever. Just this soft landing, get him out of there. Although, I did say on the show many times this week that I hope that they leave him in a hot tub. Literally, he's so beaten and battered and bruised that he never wants to play again. I hope they beat his ass into the ground. I hope they take his head off. All day long, I'm going to count the sacks. It's Pharrell on the bench. So the Canucks still lead the Panthers 1-0 after 2. Ducks up 3-0 on the Lightning after 2. And the Blues lead the Smoke Kraken 2-0. And there's about a minute and a half left in the second. I had an incredible night in the NBA against the spread, Carver High. The Rockets I have going with 10.5. They're up 6 right now on the Warriors with 6 left in the third. I hit the Lakers to win and spread. I lost the Heat. They were getting 1.5. They lost by 2. I hit the Hornets, winning, laying. I hit the Clippers, getting. I hit the Blazers, getting. I lost the Wizards. But I hit the Bulls and the Bucks. Bucks to win, Bulls to cover. I hit the Nets to win and laying. And I lost the Nuggets. They got beat by the Grizzlies. I'm surprised. They just keep winning. They just beat everybody. Doesn't matter when they play, where they play. All they do is win. And I hit the Jazz to win and the Pistons plus 10.5. So a solid night in the NBA. All right, let's get down to it. The Bills and the Chiefs, the coup de grace, the biggest game of the weekend, in my view, without a doubt, is the best rivalry going, and that's Patrick Mahomes against Josh Allen. We've seen it before. We're going to see it again. Sunday night, 6:30, Arrowhead in Kansas City. Let's dance. I know you're up against it as the biggest Bills fan in the world. I know. You know, my buddies, my wife's best friend, one of her best friends, her boyfriend's a gigantic Bills fan. The guy's like, I don't know, he's a little older than me. And then the first time I saw him, like I saw pictures of him. I have never met the guy. Not yet, anyway. They're like new lovers. But she's dating a guy, hot and heavy, lots of sex. And he's a Bills fanatic.
Oh, wow.
So now that's two Bills fans I know. And this guy's out publicly wearing like Buffalo stuff to restaurants around here. You know, wearing a Bills hat to dinner, the whole deal. People giving him the business. He doesn't care. He's huge. The guy's ripped. And he's like, I'll beat your ass. So now I have two Bills fans that I know, Carver High being the biggest. How are you dealing with the stress of having to wait till Sunday night at 6:30 to see how your team evolves in the divisional semi?
There's definitely a lot of stress at this point as we've hit Friday night. I do like that it's the last game because, and I think I was telling Lisey this maybe on our show this week in the afternoon, like if it was the first game of the weekend and they lost, like I'd probably be, as much as obviously we have to watch the games, I would be extremely upset watching the games if they lost. But it ain't mattering because they're not losing on Sunday. They're going to beat the Chiefs. I just feel like the Bills have, they got a little something going here. We've pointed to that second half in Tampa for a while now as where their season kind of changed. And it changed on several levels. Like, I think that that's the moment where it was like, you know, we've kind of been screwing around all year. And we could do something special this year. Let's lock it down and let's go. And not only that, they added a run game. And Allen ran around all year. But in the last four or five games, they've really put Singletary has stepped up his game, and the offensive line have stepped up to their game, and that allowed Allen to start throwing the ball again. It opened back up the passing game because teams were starting to drop 7-8 guys into coverage, and I think it was causing Allen some problems. But now they got to respect the run again. Allen's throwing darts all over the place, and they're humming right now. And I just feel if both teams are at their best, the Bills are a little bit better than the Chiefs this year, especially on the defensive side. I just think the Bills' D is a little bit better than the Chiefs' D, Scotty.
I got to tell you that the thing that stands out to me is now it's a two-headed monster with Josh Allen busting out for first down runs or the way Singletary's running the ball. He's giving him the double oomph, like the second level running game. You got two guys now because Allen's enormous, 6'7", whatever. 230, guy's a beast. And then you got a running back who's a load, and he's fast, and he's pounding the ball. And that, I think it poses a big problem for what I deem, frankly, a very average Chiefs defense.
I agree. I think the Chiefs defense is very average. And even though the Bills had the number one defense statistically in the NFL this year, I don't know if they're necessarily the best defense in the NFL. I get they were by the numbers. I think there are ways to beat the Bills' defense. But the way that the Chiefs like to beat you, it's the thing that the Bills have been... It's what they spent their entire offseason trying to combat. When they lost at Arrowhead last year in January, all they did the entire year was figure out ways on the defensive side of the ball to stop the Kansas City Chiefs. They drafted a whole bunch of pass rushers in the draft. They made moves to tinker with the linebacker position and the secondary and all... I just feel like they've been waiting for this moment, and they're hungrier. And I'm not saying that the Chiefs like don't. Obviously, the Chiefs want to win, and they want to go back to the Super Bowl and try to win again. The Bills have that taste, and you can see it in them the way they've played with a little extra edge the last few weeks. They know they're losing a lot of guys off their staff. They're going to lose Dable. They might lose Frazier. They're going to lose. They want to get this group together. And even though Allen's going to be there for a long time, we know this. The windows are only open for so long with the team that you have. You know, there's guys on this team. Diggs ain't going to play forever. I mean, he's not going to be at this level forever. Hyde and Poyer are their safeties who are the best safety common league. They're not going to be at this level forever. So you got to get it done when you have these things going.
What happened to the Chiefs the last 5 weeks where, you know, besides the Steeler blowout, which you knew was inevitable, they blew them out twice in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But the Chargers put 28 on them. The Bengals beat them The Broncos put 24 on them.
Yeah.
I mean, the Steelers were up 7-0. That defense, they were good when they were, you know, frankly, holding the Giants to 17, holding the Packers to 7, holding the Cowboys to 9, holding the Raiders to 14, holding the Broncos to 9, and then it all, and the Raiders to 9 again, it all blew up in their face after that. What happened to that defense in the last month? It evaporated.
Yeah, it seemed like in the middle of the season, their defense really picked up slack. You know, around November when they hit that winning streak, when they were 3-4 and they started winning a whole bunch of games, their D really started to rise. But you're right. I mean, they did not play well against the Chargers despite winning the game. They didn't play well against Denver despite winning the game. I mean, they were letting Drew Lock do really whatever he wanted in that Saturday game against against the Chiefs. So, I just think
who didn't score against them at the beginning of the year? The Browns put 29 on them and they lost 33-29. The Chiefs won the game. Then the Chiefs lost to the Ravens 36-35. Then they lost to the Chargers 30-24. Then I went to the Eagles game against the Chiefs and they won and he had 5 touchdowns, but they gave up 30. And then the Bills kicked their ass in Arrowhead by 18 points. And then, right after then, the middle of October is when they started playing good defense. I mean, they have gone from lousy to good to lousy. So that's 2-1 lousy. Lousy wins. Their defense sucks. Bills win.
I'm with you. I think the Bills' D will make more plays than the Chiefs' D. And that's going to be the key to the game. You know that Allen and Mahomes are both going to play well. I think the Bills' defense is, whether it's that one extra sack, maybe a fumble, maybe a pick, they're going to make the one more play than the Chiefs' defense is going to make. And I think that that's going to be the difference in the game. And Allen's been unstoppable. He just has.
And then what happens if they win, they have to go to Tennessee if Tennessee wins.
Correct. If Tennessee wins, they would go to Tennessee. If the Bengals win, they would host the Bengals in Buffalo next week.
And when they played Tennessee, that game was in Smashville, that primetime game, wasn't it?
Correct. It was a Monday night game.
Monday night game, and it was 34-30. It was a great game.
Yes.
And
the Bills were going in.
That being...
Yeah, the Bills were going in the final minute when Allen slipped on the 4th-and-1 at the 5-yard line to go in to take
That's
the
right.
lead. So
do you think they go to – do you think they both win because you're on both of them and that they go back and play that game and the Bills win that game and go to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think the Bills 0-1. I think that the Bills also have had the Titans circled as a team that they want another crack at after what happened on that Monday night game in Nashville. Because they thought that they let Henry get a little too... Henry had a couple big runs in that game that they basically missed like 15 tackles on. They thought that that game should not have been close. They thought they should have blew the Titans out that night, and their defense kind of let them down in some areas. So I think they want another crack at Tennessee, but they got to get through Sunday first, which I do believe they're going to. They're going to win on Sunday night.
So what, like of all the teams that you're going to bet against this weekend, which is the Bengals, the Niners, the Buccaneers, and the Chiefs, which one worries you the most about your money?
I think it has to be the Bucs because of Brady. I think it's the Bucs. Bucs worry me the most. It's because you lost so much money betting against Brady. It's very hard, very, very hard.
It never ends.
I think the game. Although, even though I'm most worried about Brady, the game that I feel is the most toss-up-ish for me, it is the Titan-Bengal game. Like that's like the pick that I probably feel like I wouldn't be stunned if I lost it. I think the Titan-Bengal game is a little bit more of a toss-up than the others. So I feel real confident
the Bengals
about
beat the if they beat the Titans and you beat the Chiefs, I think the Bills will rape them in Buffalo.
Well, from your lips, yeah. Look, I would love it. And if that game does somehow happen, I'm going to make every effort possible to drive up there that morning and go. I'm going to make every effort possible to go to that if that's the case.
I mean, that could very well happen. I mean, there's no telling what could happen.
Yeah,
it could very well happen.
We have the eight best teams this year playing this weekend, and they're the eight best teams for a reason. We don't have any underdogs that upset somebody last week or anything like that. I think we have the eight best teams in the NFL this year, and I think any eight of them could win this weekend. No, I don't think there's any. I think the only team that could get blown out is the Niners. I think that the Packers could maybe catch some steamrolling, but would I be absolutely stunned if the Niners beat the Packers tomorrow night? Absolutely not. It wouldn't stun me at all.
I hope that that Wirfs, the you know, lineman for the Bucks, I hope that tonight he actually I actually hope he trips on one of his toys in the living room when he's going to get some water at around 4 a.m, and that his ankle, you know, this time fully breaks.
Oh, jeez.
And that he's unable to play in the game. I don't want him just half there, you know, 50% and playing, because it could still cause problems for me. So I need him to trip like on a, you know, fire engine or like a toy, like a Smurf. Some kind of a, maybe, you know, like a teddy bear that slip and fall. Like, you know, tonight around 3 a.m, 4 a.m. That's what I'm looking for. And same with Jensen. I hope Tom Brady gets my sack infection somehow. I mean it.
Sack infection.
I'm not even kidding. You think I'm kidding?
I know.
Anyway, we'll come back. And wrap it up from New York on a pain-free Friday. We have no Dr. Zhivago sightings. Where's your boy? We got the playoff. We got the divisional semis or the wild cards. I love him, but honestly, what's he skiing? Anyway, I just wanted to throw these down. There's a bunch of games tomorrow. Syracuse and Duke. Duke laying 11.5. Nova's at Georgetown. Nova laying 14. Kentucky at Auburn. Auburn laying 3.5. They're tough.
That's a big boy game.
West Virginia's
at
Texas
Tech.
Red Raiders laying 9. Texas laying 8 over Oklahoma State. Baylor laying 3 at Oklahoma. Loyola laying 7 to Missouri State at home. The Ramblers. Kansas laying 7 at Kansas State. I think that's going to be a hell of a game. Iowa State laying 6.5 to TCU. Houston laying 19.5 to East Carolina. They may not cover that number. Tennessee laying 5 to LSU at Knoxville. USC laying 6 at Salt Lake against Utah. And UCLA laying 4 at Colorado. I got to tell you, I like that Buffs number. I like that Kansas State number. I like that Loyola number. I like the other one I gave you. The numbers too high. East Carolina getting that 19.5. And I think that Texas Tech game might be under 9 as well. And I'll tell you what, Auburn, Kentucky. Kentucky's playing great basketball right now. Yeah. I think they might very well squeeze under that 3.5 Carver High.
That is a big boy game.
Anyway,
tomorrow.
Have a great weekend. Enjoy the divisional semi Saturday and Sunday in the NFL. We'll see you Monday at 4 Eastern on Coast to Coast from New York for Carver High and Frog Night.